Now, the news appears to be tightening on Rwanda after the Netherlands today became the first country in Europe to suspend aid over Rwanda's alleged support for rebels in Congo. The decision comes days after a similar move by the US, while the British government also said it has delayed payment of £16 million of budget support to Rwanda. The BBC's Anna Holligan reports from The Hague.
If Rwanda wants the Dutch aid budget of $6 million reinstated, it must do two things. Convince the international community that the UN experts' report claiming Rwanda was backing the insurgents in the east of the DRC was wrong, and prove to observers on the ground that they're not supporting the rebel forces. Until those conditions have been met, the Netherlands will continue to withhold the funds. $6 million might not sound like a huge amount of money between governments, but it's the symbolic value which is significant. The Netherlands is the first European nation to publicly suspend its financial support, a sign that Europe isn't afraid to distance itself from the previously relatively popular Paul Kagame.
And that's the BBC's Anna Holligan in The Hague. Well, in line with keeping the pressure on Rwanda, Scandinavian countries on the board of the African Development Bank have also forced the delay of a decision for the disbursement of more than $38 million of budget aid. So what has been Rwanda's reaction? Louise Mushikiwabo is Rwanda's foreign minister.
Rwanda's reaction is very simple. The Dutch government, any other government, any organization is free to suspend aid to Rwanda or any other country. Second, and more important, if this decision is taken based on the so-called UN report of experts,
yes, indeed it is
wrong, because this report, first of all, is a one-way report. It's one-sided. Rwanda has just now finished rebutting the allegations in the report. So the decision is taken on evidence that doesn't exist. More importantly, I think it's a wake-up call for Rwanda and other aid recipient countries to actually start fending for ourselves and figuring it a way to sustain our development without being subjected to bullying and pressure from donors.
Now, Madam Minister, you say that you've provided the rebuttal to the UN group of experts. What sort of evidence did you give to this group of experts?
We went systematically through every single allegation. So, for example, the UN group of experts has accused Rwanda of providing ammunition to the rebels in the Congo. Now, the only evidence they have is photos of ammunition that do not exist in Rwanda, that were used many years ago, that were destroyed as part of getting rid of light weapons in the region. And the UN group of experts, in its report, was showing a uniform, military uniform. And all there is in the report is a photo of a uniform, presumably a uniform of a Rwandan soldier. It is a bust of a uniform. It has nothing whatsoever that ties the uniform to anybody Rwandan. It doesn't even have the face of the person wearing the uniform. It's not difficult in Kigali or Goma or anywhere else to actually get a military uniform. So is this the kind of standard you would expect from the United Nations, and definitely to accuse a country of taking part in destabilization of a neighbor?
Now, Madam Minister, would you say that the group of experts was satisfied with this evidence that you provided, the documentary evidence that you say you provided?
I think that you would have to ask them. All I can tell you is Rwanda at least is satisfied.
All right, Honorable Minister. So what would you say then regarding this UN saying, telling the BBC today that 30 former M23 rebels say and confirm that they were trained and armed by Rwanda?
Anybody can say anything is what I'm saying, including the United Nations, and especially a United Nations force that has nothing to show for its presence in the last 13 years in the region. But I think you also in the media need to be serious. If somebody in the UN in Eastern Congo says they have seen soldiers with new or clean or ironed uniforms, how is that evidence of the presence of Rwanda? That they saw or heard soldiers speaking English, why aren't they Ugandans? Because Uganda is also on the border.
Well, that is Rwanda's Foreign Minister, Louise Mushikiwabo. Now, cynics could be forgiven for saying here we go again, for indeed it certainly feels so if you have been following the African Union's apparent stop-start military operation aimed at disarming Uganda's rebel Lord's Resistance Army and to capture its leader Joseph Kony. Just this Wednesday, the head of a planned African Union force to hunt Joseph Kony said he couldn't start his task because he doesn't have troops, equipment, or the necessary funding. Well, today, another press conference on how to deal with the LRA has just ended in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Ignatius Bahizi attended and now joins me live. Ignatius, good afternoon. What's new this time around?
Good afternoon, Kasim. This press conference today followed a 3-day meeting between the UN officials and African Union to discuss and endorse the regional strategies which were reached upon between the UN and AU. Were endorsed by the UN on the 29th of last month. These new strategies to bring down Kony once and for all involve provision of support to the AU initiatives, protection of civilians, then provision of support to the LRA-affected governments in terms of peace, building, human rights, and the rule of law. Basically, they were discussing this in order to see how they can, apart from fighting Joseph Kony, how they can put back the affected countries on the road of development.
Now, Ignatius, did they say when they will finally make the deployment of this force?
Well, they did mention that their troops are ready. They are ready to be deployed, though they have some problems with their logistics. But very soon they'll be deploying. And this is what Francisco Madeleila, the special envoy of AU for LRA, said.
We are going to deploy soon. As I'm talking to you, the Sudanese, South Sudanese, have already put their troops in Zara. A battalion is moving, and around 200 now are already in Zara, their base. And these people can immediately be deployed. And the same, the Central African Republic have put in Obo and a few other places there 150 men. We need to finalize in terms of way they should operate. So when I say soon, it is really soon. And soon means soon. Doesn't mean today, doesn't mean tomorrow. It can even mean this afternoon.
And that is Francisco Madeleila of the AU there. But Ignatius, remind us, this is not the first time they are saying they will do this. Was this concern raised at the press conference?
Yes, indeed, Kasim. This is not the first time, and very many meetings have been held. I asked this question to back to Francisco Madeleila, and this is what he responded about it.
But we are telling the people what we are doing, and this is what we are doing. When we came here last March, that moment we didn't even have the commanders of this RTF in place. Today, not only the commanders have been sworn in, but the entire command is in Yambu. And this is a process. When we were here last March, we did not have any soldier in any of these sector headquarters.
Now, Ignatius, does it look likely that this force will finally actually be deployed now, beyond the promises that have happened before?
Well, they say despite other factors, they are ready to deploy them, though the logistics are not ready, something like communication equipment. But, of course, they say they have the battalion from Congo, which is on standby, the battalion from Southern Sudan and Central Africa, a few forces, and Uganda. So they are ready to go on the 5,000 forces. They are ready to start fighting Kony.
The BBC's Ignatius Bahizi there in Kampala.